is a veteran and a theologist who's going to help share what's going on. And then I see some other people out there, so just, it's okay, I will get to you, but we're going to talk about what's going on, and then we will bring others into the conversation. Hello, Dr. Tolbert, how are you doing this evening?
Blessed and highly favored, Sally, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak tonight. For many reasons, not only because Trump has acknowledged the receipt of 4 volumes of systematic theology through the spiritual eye, and not only has Trump changed his way of thinking and working, but the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ and the importance of where we're at and what we're doing in this nation. One of the issues we have throughout the world, and we talked about Gandhi and how he faced in India, of a country going independent, and he was imprisoned multiple times. We're seeing the similarity between where Trump is at and what he's gone through the 4 years of the elections and things that happened. Now, we have to remember, tomorrow's the day of voting, but the next president doesn't take position until January 2025. So our prayers tonight are not only who gets elected, but that in the time frame of the next couple months, America does not dissolve into a liquid rather than a nation of grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together in one body of Christ, and we have to teach accordingly. We have to understand we were formulated by God as a nation which defended and provided wealth and food and clothing and many items throughout the nations. The 195 nations, which we're working on now. Not only have we published our books in the countries such as Africa and Pakistan, but we're seeing the President of the United States in 4 years change his way of thinking and speaking. So should you vote for a Democrat and Republican under a normal situation? No, you should vote non-party affiliated. But this isn't the time for people to think of Democrats or Republicans or one party. What they need to think about now is the failure of the United States of America if a man of God does not become our next president. It's one of the things that we have to look at. Now, we know under the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We have to get back into that situation. Now, tomorrow, we stand together in a decisive moment. As we cast our ballots, let us remember this is not an ordinary election, but it's a fight for the soul and the future of our nation, just as our founding fathers rose against tyranny with courage and unshakable belief in the liberty our votes, voice, and values have a power to shape America's future and change it from the past. Yesterday is gone. Today is preparation for tomorrow. What will you do tomorrow? We are a nation practiced at removing disbelievers of God and embracing God, given rights to self-determination and freedom. Today we face a struggle of earlier years. America has been challenged by politics that put foreign interest over American prosperity. We need to change and get back to our faith and our family and get the chaos over. We need to remove all the negative factors in our 50 states and come together as one nation. There are 8 states now going to vote for a Democrat or Republican senators. Our Senate changing establishes the laws and changes the Congress standpoint of what happens in everything that we're doing. We need to know that we cannot be challenged by anyone this day. We have to change the way we think. We know that we stand for strong sovereignty and secure nations where the rights of the individual are sacred, where communities are safe, and where every citizen has the opportunity pursue their future. This moment demands we rise to our calling. It requires that we choose leaders to protect our sovereignty, defend our borders, champion law and order, and restore America back to greatness. The stakes are clear and they are high. Our vote is our voice, will and vision for the exceptional nations and future that we face. We have already seen the damage inflicted by those that hold our Constitution in contempt and dismiss American values. But tomorrow we can redeem our country, not through violence or upheaval, but through the simple power of our vote. The American future is one of the triumphs over adversity of ordinary citizens stepping forward to extraordinary things. Tomorrow is our chance to affirm that American strength lies in belief in God and parents who protect their children and education, in works who build our economy, in veterans who defend our freedom, and in citizens who contain to hold the Constitution as the superior law of the land. Whether you have already placed your vote or cast your vote at a polling place tomorrow, remember, you are not alone. You stand with American of the millions and millions in population who refuse to let this nation be torn apart. Millions who believe in the American future and are ready to carry the torch of liberty and justice for all. This is our 1776 moment, our chance to stand tall, to defend that we hold dear, and to keep America the land of the free and the home of the brave. For God, for our country, and for the shared future, let us be worthy of the patrons who come before us and cast our ballots to secure freedom for the generations to come in faith, duty, and unyielding love for God. There are many things that we look at in the limitations of the countries that are Christian. Only 15 countries today are totally turning into Christianity. America has lost its place. It's not in the position today to be called a Christian nation. Scriptures, we see the balance of man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. They aren't materially exclusive. They go together. Despite God's ultimate sovereignty, we have an obligation given to us by the Creator in the Garden of Eden and never revoked. To be dominion over God's creation is our responsibility to follow His instruction. God cares for what He has made. Do you care when you vote tomorrow? This is clear throughout the Scriptures under Genesis 1:31, as those made in His image and tasked with trading that which He has made. We should show equal care for all God's creation. So this is not about race, creed, color, or religion. This is about one nation under God, where man stands and women stand together and hold up their hands tomorrow. They kneel down in prayer that God hears them. Remember, it's not the voice alone of one person, but it's the nation in a whole that tomorrow comes to prayer. And understanding the change of the United States of America is based on one person meeting others and coming together in the glorification. Our responsibility can be summed up this way. We care for creation for our good and God's glory. God is glorified when we show the same care and delight for all the things He created. We live in a nation in which we are king. We are the people. We have the sovereignty. We govern ourselves. Therefore, when God tells us, a nation to keep His commandments, the choice you and I make on our ballot in these very days of tomorrow really matter. When we love the Lord and our whole heart, mind, and soul, first of all, we say, Lord, I am loyal to You. Loyalty to Him above what? Loyal to Him above myself? So when I go to vote, I am not taking or seeking my own interest. I am seeking the good and the welfare and the glorification of the nation. Not only our nation, but the defense of all nations. We want politics, policies, and government to be saturated in truth. Not governed by lies which took place the last 4 years, but rooted in truth. Settling with an acceptable of God's truth. I seek government officials who will protect my rights to live my faith, because this is part of loving God. Advancing these commandments and commands of loving God and loving your neighbor means voting against the pro-abortion ballots measured in 10 states that would permit unlimited killing of children, destruction of education, and the formulation of communism and socialism. And loving your neighbor means choosing the right leaders for them, not just for ourselves. We must choose our leaders to shape the world according to God's will and God's kingdom. The time for choosing has arrived. Let us pray for our nations and our fellow citizens that we choose wisely. Let us choose life, freedom, law, order, security, common sense, and governance, so we may day by day bear witness to his kingdom, live out our faith, and proclaim it to the end of the earth. It is important that we think about the glorification, the main focus of our neighbors, and understandingly, will there be their next meal? Where are they going to eat? Where are they going to work? We've lost the ability to find jobs to feed, clothe, and shelter our people in the United States. Our orphanages are greater than they've ever been. Our education has failed. This is not to say there's no one living in substance level who cares for the environment or that the development of nations do a good job of exercising stewardship. What are we doing? It's a complex issue, but it does remind us that if we want to encourage others to be steward of what God has entrusted us to do, that includes obeying another commandment from God to us, caring for the poor and needy. This includes not enacting policies that may have in the past perceived as good, but who have failed and become negative to our nation. We're no longer the country of where we're at number one. Other countries wants to take us over. We're losing our rights and our place in the world as we were formulated in 195 nations. We need to change what we do. We are the stewardess of creation. We are the servants of God. When we keep things in biblical balance, people first, creation second, increasing better stewardship will follow. It is important that we understand. Yes, the past is interesting, and many things have taken place. Our failures of the past have led us to where we are today. We, the people, have repented. Maybe God will continue in blessings if we follow his instructions. But those who hope in all the lands and renew their strength, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:31. Yep, we talked about Eisenhower earlier. But Eisenhower made it a priority in his administration to promote belief in God and religion. In this general terms, he saw religion as a spiritual resource of the Cold War, conflicted with communism. He said, under God, the Pledge of Allegiance, and promoted the National Day of Prayer. He spoke frequently about the importance of a deeply felt religious faith, most famously when he said, our former governor has no sense unless it's founded in the deeply felt religious faith. I don't care what it is, regardless, do you believe in God? Today, when the Cold War struggle has been replaced by culture war, conflicts, critics see Trump moving from a Presbyterian to a non-denomination Christian in an opposite light. It's too specific, instead of trying to represent all Americans about deeply felt faith, it is politically and identifyingly with religion voters, he needs to be recognized at the polls. It's not about whether you're a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Jewish. It's not about your religion. It's about your belief in God and that God is placing Trump in a position where he will lead our nation back. Can we pray for Trump? Can we know that he may make errors? He may make mistakes. But aren't we human? Haven't we done that all the time? Haven't we too made errors yesterday that we correct and learn about today in order to be more productive tomorrow? Harris, is going to pass federal laws to impose abortion on demand on all 50 states in violation of the Constitution. She wants Congress to rewrite the law. And then when she's done doing that, she's going to repeal the filibusters. And then she's going to pass federal laws imposing term limits on Supreme Court. Will instantly remove three of our judges from the court, which are elected and are voting and following the Constitution. They're also going to look at increasing the number of people on our Supreme Court in order to be non-productive, where we do not enforce the laws, but they will try to create the laws. We saw in Venezuela that the Supreme Court no longer was doing what they were supposed to do, but they were creating new laws going against their own senators, which left Venezuela and went to another country. Will our members of the body of Christ leave the United States of America? Will they too leave and go to another country as we watch them grow in the grace and the glory of God and we are losing our own foundation? The first accomplished list on the campaign is Believers for Trump is how Trump appointed three Supreme Court justices, which led to the end of Roe versus Wade and broader protections for religious freedom. Ending legal abortion is a center of legal and religious conservation and criticism of many of his supporters. I believe that life begins in conception. I cannot follow the dictators of being able to abort at any time. It is important that this becomes one of the primary reasons we think about our next election. But in the final days of the campaign, both former president and vice president are going to invoke God in their messages to appeal Christian voters. But are they truly being true believers, or are they only saying what they're saying in order to get votes? Trump and Harris have held events in Georgia churches in recent weeks. They each offered remarks in different crowds on how the country needs faith and contracting ideas of how to live with them in the office. But how many times have you seen the Democrats raise their hands? How many times have you seen them say in the name and the glorification of God? I'm asking that the Democrats over the next 4 years support Trump, support the reevaluation and the substance and the structure of the United States. I'm asking that they change how they believe in God and they come back the way they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. That it's not about their political party, but it's their supporting the trusting spirit, the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ. God created the heavens and the earth. Why aren't we supporting the Creator? An act of God is upon us and engaged in directing our ongoing daily activity to resolve and to restore the ways of our divine Creator, God who made us, each of us, and the paradise of this earth in heaven to exist and to love and endure in our common mature fates here upon God's earth, not man's. The miracle of the world in outer space accordingly to the school of the Holy Spirit has confidence in God. Trust God. God will work things out so that we can create a safer, more peaceful world for everyone, not just for the United States of America, but for the 195 countries. All sinners are playing losing games. Paul wrote in the church saying, "Or do you not know the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither by sinners or other individuals, that they will inherit God's kingdom." We know in 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul addressed Christians, warning them not to be deceived. How could a Christian be deceived into believing that they can continue in sin as we've been doing in the United States and still inherit the kingdom of God? The answer is Satan is extremely deceitful and deceptive. Satan is a master chess player, seeing several moves before we even get there. He cleverly sets the trap, so we become unexpected players and we lose, and we no longer have the nation, that it becomes a different nation. There are people teaching today that the dominance of all countries coming together as one world power with one currency and control. That is not our responsibility to be one world power. We're to be the leader and the guider of the nations. Jesus lovingly guides the Christians away from pitfalls, also seeing several moves ahead. The Christian only sees one move at a time and doesn't realize the danger of misstepping. The Christian gives up and no longer formulates the direction that they're to be heading. The only way not to be deceived is to remember not only the danger, but to remember who we are and what happened to change us. After Paul lists of the unrighteousness lifestyle, he adds, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sacrificed, you became new, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." The key here is the expression, "such were you," in the past tense, not present. "They were" was replaced, and "they had become washed and sanctified and justified." They were, and what they were and had become are now newness and the glorification of the United States of America as we go back to and remove unrighteousness to renew ourselves accordingly. Jesus did not come to save the righteous. He came to seek and save the lost. We are lost. We are the thieves. We are the one creating all the problems. All have sins and fall short of the glorification of God. We should not be deceived into thinking that we can continue in an unrighteousness. In chess players, we need to renew ourselves. We need to re-glorify ourselves. We need to know. Of course, we must also keep in mind that we all are fallen sinners. We're all selfish and greed and apathy without impacting. Yet, there are those that become born again and fulfill the Creator's mandate. That's why the ultimate answer to environmental and things happening around us depends on how we choose the next election. Joseph interpreted the dream of God given to the Pharisee, the importance of taking 7 years and correcting famine. Are we going to take the 4 years and make corrections? Or are we going to fall in the negative side and not return ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we going to do? How are we going to look at it? What is our glorification? And how will we know the great and the glory of God as we come together? We're going through a lot of problems in our country, and it's based on 25 or 50 years ago. We really should become who we are, believers in God, and change our religious faith, not from non-believers, but protecting ourselves and heading in the right direction rather than the wrong direction. There are many countries that are more Christians than we are, and we're losing our faith, and we're losing our directions. We know today that white Christians, 76%, are voting for Trump. And in the communities, we're seeing that other nationalities and people are voting for Harris. But we have to bring everybody together. It's not about the Christianity of color. It's about the Christianity of believers. So whether your color or skin is different, whether or not your nationality is different, do you believe in God? When you vote tomorrow, are you voting because God gives you instructions? Or are you going to vote because you're a true believer? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where have you been? Most Americans know about religious President Eisenhower, and they know about the uniqueness. Today, the Cold War struggle is replaced by culture war conflicts, crises between the Presbyterians and other nationalities. We have to change the way we think. We have to know. But our biggest prayer is not only the voter who we vote for tomorrow, but the individual we vote for raises their hand. They become baptized not only by water, but by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So tonight, I'm asking and praying that everybody that listens and the non-listeners and the God, the grace and the glory of the indwelling Spirit reminds you that God is the one who has to work tomorrow. if you go against God, you're allowing Satan to step in and overcome America. I'm praying to tonight that you listen and know who God is, that the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost, that you raise your hand, that you become born again, and your selection of the President of the United States is not based on politics, but it's based on the renewness of our religious and faith in God. We are one nation under God. We have become destructive. We have pulled God out of our country. We are no longer opening the door. Our pastors, our reverends, our evangelists are changing the course to a bad direction. We need to bring them back in the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they understand and know who God is. This country will be ruled by God this next 4 years. Are you going to look at the rule to be like the storms we've seen who have upheavaled the earth? Or are you going to look at God stepping in and the glorification of the rainbow? The decision you make tomorrow is God-given, not by man, but you as individuals come together in the glorification. I ask that you go also to my website, www.cfacs.com. And see the books that Trump has seen about the hybrid schools, the interaction, the changing of our politics, the reorganization, how the Bible and the Constitution are one and one. Are you going to allow the Supreme Court to change and become what we see in other countries? Or are you going to let Trump become the elector, that he becomes in January your new wholeness? Let Harris and Biden step down. Let them transfer our country. There's going to be great physical and mental wars between the people after tomorrow's vote. There could be an upheaval and a misuse of the computers, as was done in the last election. The glorification of God is you stand up and defend your country in one nation, in the Lord of Jesus Christ. In God's name, Apostle Charles Frederick Tolbert, in glorification. Amen. Sally?